Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And it is hard to believe here that we're in the end of January. And what a very special guest we have, two guests that have had an amazing journey. And this is my daughter, Laura Greco. Welcome, Laura.
Thanks, Dad.
And
Tillman, or shall I say Deacon Steve?
Whatever way you want to go is fine. People call me a lot of names. And Tillman Neckman, who is his loving, is an incredible loving son-in-law and husband. Welcome, Tillman.
Thank you.
It's great to have you both on the show. The title of the show is Hope with Lung Cancer. Lung cancer is a disease that is impacting so many people without the necessary support. And as Catholics, we are called to make a difference. We are called to put into action our faith. And that's what this show is all about. That we as Catholics, if we can stand up to the fact that one out of 15 Americans are diagnosed with lung cancer in their lifetime, but the support is only 5% of the federal dollars on lung cancer research, which is really pitiful, Laura, when you consider the number of Americans, number of Catholics, people that are going to be diagnosed with lung cancer in their lifetime to have that small support.
It is. It's 27% of all cancer deaths are due to lung cancer, and yet it's, as you stated, about 5% of federal funding goes to that. It doesn't make sense.
Both Laura and Tillman are active in their parish in upstate New York. I guess, I don't know if it's officially called upstate, but in Saratoga Springs area, St. Peter's, a shout out to them. And they have been involved in making a difference as lung cancer advocates for research. And this show is about those that have cancer in general, but certainly those that have lung cancer. If you know of people who have lung cancer, that you can be that agent of hope and make a difference for them. But before we get into that in more detail, Laura, why don't you tell your story on that snowy day and what happened? It's almost 2 years now.
Yes. In February of 2015, I got the short end of the stick and was taking my then six-year-old son, Reese, to ski lessons at the local mountain. And on the way back, it started snowing, so I took a different route than I usually take. And as we're getting fairly close to home, suddenly I saw an SUV and the others in my lane heading towards me. I wasn't initially concerned because it looked like she was trying to pass another car and it was pretty far away. But as the seconds ticked on and she didn't move, I became more concerned. Not that the Southern California, this is a foreign concept to Southern California people, but there was lots of snow then, so I couldn't go to the shoulder. So at the last second, I swerved into her, what should have been her lane of traffic, and avoided a head-on collision, but was the whole right side of the vehicle was crushed.
And it's interesting, my brothers and sisters, as you look at Scripture, in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We look at Romans 8:28, which says that all things work for good, for he who loves the Lord is called according to his purpose. Now, you say to yourself, I'm having a major accident. My car is totaled. Who knows how severe it is? And yet, there was a blessing that did come out of that. Tell us more about that.
Absolutely. After the car accident, I was just so thankful my son and I weren't more seriously injured. It turns out that he had a concussion, but you know, we could have died. It was, you know, when someone's going head on into you at 45 miles or whatever miles an hour, there's a real risk of serious injury. So I was very thankful that it wasn't more serious. But as the adrenaline wore off for me, I started getting sort of back type, whiplash type pain. So I consented after some discussion with the people at the hospital to have a full trauma scan. And that's when they came in and said, well, we don't really see anything related to the car accident, but you might want to get that mass checked out in your lung. And I said, what are you talking about? That doesn't make sense. And they said, well, we see this all the time. You know, you've never smoked, right? Right. I've never smoked. I've been around smoke. And you're only 40. You don't have a family history of lung cancer, right? Right. So it's probably just something you want to monitor. And so, you know, I was shaken, definitely very shaken up, my Tillman can attest, over the car accident, but I really wasn't super worried about anything going on with my lung until several days later when I went into my primary care doctor, and she later got the report. She wasn't initially worried either, but then when she read the report, there was clear concern in her voice because the mass in my lung was 3.75 centimeters, which was, you know, despite the fact I have no family history, no obvious risk factors of lung cancer, there's an 80 or 90% chance it is lung cancer. So long story short, obviously it was cancer, and that's what we've been dealing with for the past 2 years, almost 2 years.
Tillman, you have spent your whole life being a man of great faith. And for everyone out there, I often have said this to people who know me and in various talks that I give, this Deacon Steve Greco, Empowered by the Spirit, about praying for your son or daughter's future spouse. And we have prayed and prayed and prayed prior to Tillman marrying Laura to have a very holy man come into Laura's life, a man of God. And that's exactly what you are, Tillman.
Thank you.
A man of God. And as a man of God with great faith, you hear about the accident, and then, of course, you hear about the lung cancer. How did you wrestle with that with God as it relates to, you know, trying to come to grips with it?
Well, I think initially you feel the floor drop out from under you. I think both of us felt that. Everything you know, the sort of stability, life was predictable, life was good. You know, we were involved in church. I was the pastoral council at St. Peter's, or president at the time. You know, everything seemed planned out. And suddenly the floor drops out. And I remember talking to our priest, Father Tom, there, you know, and he said to me, he was new to our parish at the time. And his sister, when she was 40, had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and died within a couple of years. So he was going through something with us that was reminiscent of the past. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't know how one gets through this. And he said, you know, sometimes yelling is a form of prayer. And it was a really helpful comment to me at the time, because it was a time, I think, where Laura and I both had a choice to make. There was a fork in the road. And so many people fall away from faith in a time of crisis. It really helped to be reminded this is a relationship we're in with God. And relationships sometimes involve praise and love and hugs, and sometimes involve yelling. You know, how does this happen? What's going on here? And it took a lot of additional reading, a lot of additional prayer, a lot of additional thought to come to the realization. I mean, you know me. I tend to go back to Pope Benedict a lot and read his work. And there was a statement he said where, you know, he said, we're not promised in faith that only good things will happen. In fact, we're fairly confident bad things do. We're just promised through our faith that bad things can be transformed. Bad things can be made to, a cross can be made to have a purpose. And so I think it was fairly early on that Laura, who's been heroic through all of this, and I both decided this had to be a mission in some way. This had to be a calling, a vocation, one we didn't want. But, you know, as we all know, even Christ prayed, take this cup away. If God wants to take it away, I think Laura and I both agree we'd hand it back. But that's not the way. That's not the way it works. And so you take the cross, you do with it what you can.
We're with Tillman Neckman and Laura Greco on our show, Hope for Lung Cancer. And those that have lung cancer or any type of cancer, there is hope. But as Tillman said, one of the most important things you can do is just turn your life over to Jesus. Really get in touch with your feelings and let him know how you feel and how you're hurting. And one way of doing that is turning to Scripture. And Psalm 102 is prayer in time of distress. And it says, the prayer of one afflicted and wasting away, whose anguish is poured out before the Lord. Lord, hear my prayer. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. And it goes on to talk about just pouring out love and pouring out anguish to God. From my loud groaning, I become just skin and bones. I'm like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. But as it continues on, then David, who wrote this psalm, you begin to realize that he trusts in God. And I think that journey is one of pouring out your heart, but then realizing how much God loves you. We're going to be right back to learn more about hope and lung cancer.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here high atop the Tower of Hope at beautiful Christ Cathedral on Empowered by the Spirit with Laura Greco and Tillman Neckman, and we're talking about hope with lung cancer. And Laura's story and Tillman's story about what happened on that snowy day in February 2015. And when Laura had an accident, totaled her car, found out she had a mass in her lung that turned out to be lung cancer. Laura, we all know that bad things happen to good people. And we all know that God has promised us that he's always going to be there for us. And you had a decision to make at that point in time. You can go into deep depression, or you can fight and do something. What was going through your mind as you, in those early days when you were trying to decide what to do?
Well, I guess the first thing that went through my mind, and probably most people's when they're diagnosed with cancer, is that I don't want to die, that I'm not ready to die yet. I have two young children. At that time, they were 2 and 6. It's tremendously unfair, particularly for the two-year-old. If I were to die, he wouldn't even remember having a mom. So, as you know, I'm a kind of feisty personality.
No kidding. I could go on for hours on that one.
That's another subject for another time. But so, to make a joke of it, I'm an attorney, and I had a client who was of the military persuasion, and he didn't like the way a project was going, and he constantly would drill us with failure is not an option. So it kind of was like that. Failure is not an option.
And you got so determined to make a difference. And from a standpoint of healthcare, you know, you wanted to get the best. And I know you got really involved, Tillman, right away in trying to do research and figuring out what to do.
Yeah, well, we're fortunate to live within 3 hours of both New York City and Boston. So we had places like Sloan Kettering and Dana-Farber to look into, because obviously you've got to make choices. Saratoga Springs is a wonderful city, but we had reached a point where Laura was, as we say, too sick to stay there. And so we had to make those sorts of commitments. And again, it was in many ways the beginning of our journey, because it was when we were beginning to reach out to the researchers, the scientists, the doctors who are on the cutting edge of science. I don't think either of us realized right away that we were about to be medically on the cutting edge, which is never where you want to be. But as Laura has said before, the thing that will cure her and save her does not yet exist, medically speaking. And so we are there. And so to meet these people and to see the work they're doing and to come to realize that they are in some ways, you know, we still hold out hope. We still talk about miracles happening. But the miracle can also be these doctors. It can be God's wisdom in their hands, finding new cures, and in us talking about this, making it visible, making it, giving it a face that's not ashamed. You know, so many of the people we've met will stand up and say, I smoked for 20 years, and so I deserve this. Well, they don't deserve cancer. They don't deserve to die because they smoked. But we don't have any of that shame about this, so we can stand up and to realize that, you know, God needs hands, God needs voices, and if we can be the voice, if we can help bring in the money and the attention, and those doctors can use his wisdom to find the cures, then this can be part of a broad-ranging communal miracle.
Let's take a look at some of these statistics again. One out of 15 Americans diagnosed with lung cancer in their lifetime. 65% of all new lung cancer diagnoses are among people who have never smoked or are former smokers. Lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer death, taking more lives than breast, colon, prostate cancers combined. Kills twice as many women as breast cancer. Twice as many women as breast cancer.
And it's been that way since 1987, basically my whole life. And I bet before I got lung cancer, you never would have known that. I never knew that. As a woman, you know, we're taught to fear breast cancer. And certainly, as you know, it does take lives. Your mother, my grandmother, passed away from breast cancer. But the tide has turned on breast cancer. It has not turned on lung cancer yet.
Well, and the shocking numbers that, you know, if you divide out federal funding per death by disease, breast cancer gets 10 times more federal funding than lung cancer. And as Laura has said in a number of speeches in a number of spaces, to have to look at our youngest, Fletcher, at the age of 4 and say, your mother's death is worth 1/10 what it would be if she had a different kind of cancer. Tell that to a legislator and see if they can defend their vote to keep the balance the way it is.
Or her life rather than her death.
Right.
Three times as many men as prostate cancer, lung cancer kills, and only 17%, and this is where you go to the internet and it's hard when you read 17% of all people diagnosed with lung cancer will survive 5 years or more. And again, only 5% of federal dollars being spent on lung cancer. So you made a decision, Laura, and that decision, and Laura and Tillman both made the decision to do something about it. Because my brothers and sisters, when things happen to you that you don't want to have happen to you, you get fired from a job, you get some disease, you get a divorce, whatever it might be, you can make a difference by the hand that you're given. You can make a difference by saying, yes, Lord, I want to use what's happening to me to build up your body, to build up the kingdom, to make a difference, to love people. And how did that happen with you, Laura, in which you made this decision to say, hey, I want to get involved and spread the word?
Well, initially, I put myself through pretty grueling treatment. I moved to Boston for 7 weeks and did concurrent chemotherapy and radiation, then recovered from that and had lung surgery. And then because I was at high risk of recurrence, did 4 more rounds of chemotherapy. I knew when I was diagnosed that the possibility of me being cured was really low. So if that's the case, if it's the case that I probably wouldn't be cured, I wanted to make sure that I did everything humanly possible to try to both increase my personal odds and also prevent somebody else going through the hell that our family has gone through. Because that's what it's about, too. We can just try to live our own life. And, you know, certainly I've met many people that choose to do that. They just look, I'm just surviving. And that's true. But in my opinion, at least, too many people who have come before me have had that attitude and been silent about their disease. And as a result, the survival statistics are so horrible because when people are silent, no one pays attention. And clearly, people aren't paying attention to lung cancer. It is a highly prevalent disease. As you stated, 1 in 15 Americans will get it. It's the number one cancer killer, and yet nobody talks about it. It's not on people's radar. Or if it is on their radar, it's only on their radar to the extent that, well, just don't smoke and you'll somehow avoid it. But that's not true. 20% of women have never smoked who get lung cancer. And it's a little bit lower for men, but that adds up to a huge percentage of people. If you were to add, or if non-smoking lung cancer were its own category, it would be deadlier than lymphoma, liver cancer, or brain cancer, just to name a few. And we don't consider those rare diseases, but we somehow act as though you have to be some sort of freak to get lung cancer as a non-smoker when that just simply isn't the case.
And we really don't understand why it happens, but it just does happen. And so what exactly have you been doing?
So Tillman and I both have done a variety of things. We have participated in local walks and helped fundraise. And we've probably fundraised together over $20,000 between the two of us. We also, I also have spoken and in Boston and Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia, to name a few. I also was selected to be a consumer reviewer, sort of a lung cancer patient, for a program that is funded by Congress through the U.S. Department of Defense, and it's a lung cancer research program. They give grants for lung cancer research, and I was the consumer perspective and a group of scientists and researchers in November, and it was very worthwhile experience.
We've also tried to do a lot with the media locally, and one of the things we've realized, because Laura is on the cutting edge of science, the local media are always looking for the sort of local story. And so to be able to say, hey, guys, there's this drug that was just approved and we've got a local woman doing it. And all of the media we've touched in the area have said, you've touched us. You know, we got to tell your story, but boy, were we moved. I mean, the reporter from the Times Union told me recently in Albany, she's like, this was the most substantial story I told all year. And these are folks now who track us or interested in it. So, again, we can be the voice. Our children have done it. There are children, you know, again, they're now 7 and 4, have given talks at their school to try and encourage fundraising for the walk. This is not something that you have to be an expert to do. We are all called to be God's voice.
My brothers and sisters, we are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about hope with lung cancer and how you can make a difference. We are called to be the light of the world. We are called not to hide our light under a bushel basket. When adversity happens to you, when you feel passion about something, make a difference. Make a difference in getting involved with Congress, with people who need to hear what you have to say. We're going to hear more about hope with lung cancer and how you can make a difference and continuing on with the story and journey of Laura and Tillman. We'll be right back.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in the Orange Diocese. We are on Empowered by the Spirit with Laura Greco and Tillman Neckman, and we're talking about hope with lung cancer. The story that Laura has been on and Tillman together, what deck that they were dealt, and how they're making a difference by being lung cancer advocates and living out their faith. Let's take a look and open your Bibles to James 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you do not give them necessities of the body, what good is it? So also, faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And Tillman, one of the things that's been so important is the fact that so many people have rallied around you. And I can say, without a shadow of a doubt, this is true worldwide. Mm-hmm. Because wherever we've gone, people are praying for you. People come up to me constantly and say, I pray for Laura every single day. I mean, so many people that you guys don't know, people involved in ministry, people involved just wanting to make a difference. But one of the most important things has been your faith family. And tell us about that at St. Peter's, and we'll give a shout out to St. Peter's at Saratoga Springs, and what a beautiful faith community they've been there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, neither Laura nor I are the kind of people who ask for help easily. And I think that that's, you know, early on, again, you talk about that initial moment, you think, how are we going to do this? And it started very early. I remember actually calling you and Mary Ann shortly after, before we even knew Laura had cancer. But we'd started looking on the internet at the statistics based on the size of this mass and realizing what we might be facing, and having to say, I need you guys to get here. You know, I need someone here to help, because I can't help Laura stay, you know, upright through the grief that we're dealing with and deal with the two children. That was hard. It's been hard all along. And I've talked again to Father Tom, who's our pastor at St. Peter's, or to Father Injimi, who'd been the pastor emeritus there. And both had said, you know, you will probably find that humility is a gift you get through this, and the humbleness of feeling those around you support you, you know, and the gift that you give them to let them do that for you. So the folks at St. Peter's, the folks in Saratoga more generally, our families, St. Clement's, which is the other parish in Saratoga where our children go to school. We recently had a dinner at a local restaurant. The restaurant had turned over a percentage of the profits from the evening to lung cancer research.
You mean the 99?
The 99. We'll give a shout out to the
free commercial 99.
The Brandy and all of her team there. And I walked into that restaurant and immediately saw people walking out, and someone from St. Peter's, and she came over. I broke down in tears, and she walked over and gave me a hug, and she said, you know, dry up, big guy, because the rest of the town is in there. And when we went in, you know, you were there to walk into that restaurant and see at table after table after table, people we knew, the sense that we will be okay. We will, you know, we don't know what that okay looks like. God doesn't promise us what okay looks like, but we have people holding us. And that is, if we can be God's voice for this disease and to advocate for it and to help the doctors and empower the doctors with the research money to be his hands, these people will be his hands back to us and hold us as we do this work. And it's, I mean, that's a sense of communion. We talk as Catholics about the communion and Eucharist. That's communion. That's what it feels like. These people are the body of Christ for us.
God is the God of love. And I'm going to shout out now, or whatever you want to say. I want to really mention, as parents or godparents or grandparents or aunts and uncles and whoever it might be, one of the things that you go through is saying, give it to me instead of my daughter, instead of my son. I'd rather have it. And part of you, if you're honest, goes through this, how can a loving God do this? How can someone who loves and is the God of love allow these things to happen? But as the Psalms, as David went through that, you begin to realize that as you read Scripture, you read out of Isaiah, as high as the heaven is above the earth are my ways above your ways, and that we're not God. We don't understand God's plan. We don't understand what our purpose is on life, and we have to trust God. It's the divine mercy prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And I'll say, Laura, that was a big part of what it was happening when you called me on that day into Albany Medical Center, and you said that you thought the cancer had entered your heart and that you were saying your final goodbyes. And I went through everything from A to Z as it relates to, you know, here I'm trying to serve you and do all these different things in terms of ministries, and this is how you repay me, was the first thought that came to my mind. But then I began to realize, Lord, you love me and love my daughter and all of my children infinitely more than I could ever understand, and I have to trust in that. And we flew back not knowing whether we were going to see you or not, but trusting and praising God, because praise changes things. And praise God means that you praise him for who he is. He's the God of hope. He's the God of healing. He's the God of love. And I know, being in the healing ministry for almost 40 years, that love is what changes things. And, you know, we came back there and you said they had misdiagnosed you. I'm sure you remember that fateful night that we were together and up all night. Getting back to the faith of community, it's certainly church community, but it's also work community. And Laura, you've had tremendous support from the work. You're an attorney, just made partner. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have to say that. And but your law firm has given you tremendous support also.
Yes, they have. They've been very supportive in helping me, I guess, okay with all the medical appointments that I've had to do, and supportive when I've had to take time off. They also last year donated to the American Lung Association as a firm, in part, not really in part, but because my story impacted them. So they've been great.
You know, who are they?
McGlinchey Stafford.
Out of New Orleans?
Out of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, I'd like to say, besides, though, prayer, you know, as I've gotten more into this lung cancer journey, as they call it, prayer is so important, and I'd like to thank everyone who's been praying for me and my family. But I've gotten to, or come to the conclusion that, you know, prayer is not enough, as you just spoke. You know, prayer without good works it isn't enough. So I think as Christians, sometimes when something really bad happens, we get so overwhelmed and just sort of shut down and pray and just don't know what else to do. But that's exactly the wrong attitude. We need to, in fact, engage the world, engage the evils in the world or the wrongs or the injustices in the world. And in that way, that's how we make a difference. It's not just by walling up and praying and hoping that somehow things change. We have been given the power through God to make a change, but it's not just through praying, it's through action.
And we're going to get into that in our next segment about what you can do to make a difference. And this fits perfectly with Catholic social teaching. But I also want to go over to you, Tillman, and as a professor at Skidmore College in the Albany area in Saratoga Springs, you have had tremendous support also. And tell us about that.
Yeah, no, the college has been phenomenal as well. I mean, again, it's a very small town. It's a very small college. But in all of these areas, we've had people really rally to us. And I think I would echo what Laura said. You know, I've had students say to me, you know, what can I do? Where can I donate? And Skidmore is a very secular place. So they're not necessarily coming at it from a Christian sensibility, although I've been very open about that's how I'm dealing with this journey. That's how I'm getting through it. They have sensed that this is a mobilization. And I think back to something the deacon at one of the two deacons at St. Peter's, Deacon Brian Levine, said to me very early on. He reminded me, and this gets to a point you made as well, that the God doesn't cause cancer. God doesn't do these things. We live in a broken world. Cancer isn't God's plan. It's part of the brokenness of this world. The prayer, the actions that we put back into it are part of what God wants us to do and calls us to do. And I believe that even our most secular friends can help in that work. And so as I've told folks at Skidmore, you know, this is how we're dealing with the journey, but to the extent that they're helping, contributing, joining us in the walks, they are participating in the work of God to restore the brokenness, put this back together.
Which is a huge part of what Catholic social teaching is putting your faith into action. As we think about it and the journey that I've had in the healing ministry, as I've seen people with cancer, a number of which have gotten better and have been healed and resumed normal lives, and some who have not. But some of the differences have been the degree of faith, degree of prayer, but the degree of action. To what extent have they put into action what's going on with them to try to make a difference in other people's lives? But it's also having hope. And Laura, I'm going to close this segment by a scripture reading that I was praying this morning before coming here. And I got reminded at my mother, your grandmother that you love dearly, Greco, deathbed, literally the hour that she died, I received this verse that kind of came out of nowhere for me out of Romans, and it's the title of the show, about hope. And it's verse Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that my mother, your grandmother, is interceding for us, because that's the other thing as Catholics, that we believe in the communion of saints. So we're going to talk more as we come back about, again, how you can make a difference with hope with lung cancer. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Laura Greco and Tillman Neckman. We are on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope here in the Diocese of Orange, California. And we're talking about hope with lung cancer. And this whole show has been an awareness show that we as Catholics can make a huge difference with the 1 out of 15 Americans diagnosed with lung cancer, with the fact that it kills twice as many women as breast cancer, 3 times as many men as prostate cancer, is a leading cause of cancer death, more than colon, breast, and prostate combined, and that there's only 5% of all federal money spent on lung cancer. And what my daughter Laura said earlier is that we as Catholics, and Tillman said the same thing, must live out our faith. This is Catholic social teaching. Who do you know that has lung cancer? My guess is there's been someone in your family that has lung cancer. You can make a difference, definitely with prayer, as mentioned, but also with action. There are some fantastic organizations that want to make a difference for you, for your family, for your relatives, to make a difference to save lives. Tell us about some of these organizations, Laura.
Sure. I've worked with a variety of them. One organization I've worked with a lot is called the Lung Cancer Alliance. Their website is lungcanceralliance.org, and they're a leading lung cancer-related organization that advocates at the federal level for more federal funding and screening, as well as does a lot of research into lung cancer. The big thing among all the organizations we're about to talk about is lung cancer research, because as you stated, Dad, there's not a lot not enough going on in the federal level for research. So these organizations are really trying to fill the gap. Another great organization, and one that is based here in the West Coast, is the Bonnie Addario Lung Cancer Foundation. Bonnie Addario actually is a lung cancer survivor herself, was diagnosed with stage 3B lung cancer, and pledged if she survived, she was going to start an organization about lung cancer. And she has a particularly interesting study going on the genomics of young lung cancer. And those young, unfortunately for me, means under 40, and I was diagnosed as 40. But they're still raising money to try to fund that study. And they found out some very interesting facts, that like the genetic mutation that is driving my cancer, well, pretty rare, 5% of all lung cancer patients have it. In their study, they're finding about 50% of people under 40 have this same mutation. So it's very common in the younger set, and they don't know why. And of course, there's not the money to figure out what's going on. Why are so many young people getting lung cancer? So a great one to donate or if you're affected by lung cancer, to find out more is Bonnie Addario. Their website is lungcancerfoundation.org.
And Laura and I have also done a lot of work with another group called Longevity. It's the largest national lung cancer-focused nonprofit. They also do a great deal of work with researching for new treatments and new therapies to help, again, find the treatment that will change some of these outcomes. As I said earlier, the medical technology that will cure Laura doesn't exist. And so at some point a dollar will be given, and that dollar will be the last dollar necessary for some doctor in some lab to find a cure. to shut down this mutation. The Longevity Organization is at longevity.org. That's LUNGEVITY.org, longevity.
And you can email info@longevity.org also to get more information. And those are some fantastic organizations that really are making a difference. And Laura, you've been really on top of lung cancer research and what's going on. For our listening audience that either has lung cancer or people who perhaps will be getting lung cancer in their family, to give them some hope, what's some recent breakthroughs that have been happening?
There have been more breakthroughs in the past 5 years in lung cancer than there have been in the past 40. Just last year alone, I believe there are 6 or 7 drugs that were FDA approved for lung cancer, which is fantastic. One of the big breakthroughs, and this isn't just for lung cancer, but cancer in general, of course, is immunotherapy. There are several drugs on the market that harness the body's own immune fighting power and have been very successful for a slice of people with lung cancer. Unfortunately, they tend to work on only 20 or 30% of people with lung cancer. But for those people, some of them get a very durable response. Is it a cure? Not yet, but it's really hopeful. And they're finding, you know, new drugs and new ways of combining different immunotherapies to try to really perfect this process. But they're definitely on to something. For me, immunotherapy is likely not to work because my cancer is driven by a single mutation called ALK. And the good news is there are a lot of targeted therapies out there that address this mutation. 3 that are FDA approved and several other that are in clinical trials that are also showing effectiveness. However, the bad part is that they only work for so long. So eventually the cancer finds a way to work around it and it stops working. So that's why it's so critical that we put more money into research, because they know for a lot of these subtypes of lung cancer, I mean, lung cancer isn't one type of cancer. There's 60, like, there are probably 60 different lung cancers. So whatever you think you know about lung cancer, you probably don't, because the lung cancer that I have, it may be a lot different than the lung cancer your grandma had or whatever, you know, and the treatment is changing so quickly that it really does pay for you or a loved one to go to a specialist, somebody who specializes just in lung cancer, and even better, specializes in just your subtype of lung cancer if you can find one, because there is a lot of new medical research going on in the area, and it's tough to keep up if you're not a specialist in it.
And I want to also really say thank you, thank you, thank you to all those who are working in lung cancer and cancer research, but also the physicians, the oncologists, the nurses, the fellows. And at Mass General, you have a team of doctors that are absolutely amazing. And would you like to say a thank you to them?
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Shaw and Dr. Lin, for all that you do. We haven't been together that long, just since October, but I've been very impressed and I feel like I'm in great hands. And, you know, that's important too. Whatever your medical condition is, cancer or anything else, get the best team. Get people that you're very comfortable with and make sure that they've got your back and are willing to go the extra mile for you. Because if they're not, they're not willing to go for it, your life's too short. Find somebody else who will.
And you had a great doctor at Dana-Farber.
I did.
She moved.
She moved, Dr. Lena Gandhi. She was great as well.
Yeah. And there's so many great ones out there. And wherever you are in the country, as you're listening in, know that there's hope. And as an example, you recently got placed on over the last few months, a new treatment that was oral treatment, correct?
Yes.
And tell us what the current results have been.
Well, you know, the bad news, as you might have gathered, is that the cancer returned. The good news is that there are these targeted therapies, and I went on a targeted therapy, and as of the last scan results, which were the end of November, I had a 75% reduction in the overall tumors.
Amen.
So,
and it's totally
great.
Out of your lung and lymph nodes, too.
Yes.
And, but in any case, there's great progress, which is the most important thing.
Yes.
Yeah. prayer makes a huge difference. Prayer, and then when you put action with prayer, that's the ultimate. And I want to thank Laura, for you and Tillman, for your courage and for being on the show and for being advocates to make a difference, to live out your faith. And God bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deacon Steve.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We praise you for what you are doing to make a difference in healing, because you are the God of healing for all those with cancer and all those with lung cancer. Open the doors for those that have lung cancer, that they may receive the right treatment, that they may be healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Help them with courage. Help them with action. Help them to lead a life of making a difference. And Heavenly Father, we ask a special blessing on all healthcare providers, all researchers, all physicians and nurses that are making a difference in living out your faith. We ask, Lord God, for a complete healing of all those with cancer. And we ask, Lord God, to give them that spirit of hope, that spirit of joy, that spirit of peace. We say this through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
OCCatholicMan.org. That's OCCatholicMan.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.